Good evening, everybody, and thank you for coming out. And welcome to Wednesday night service at Grace Community Church. Thank y'all for coming out that's here in person, and thank y'all for tuning in if you're watching online. If you don't know me, my name is Wade. Let me go ahead and open us up in a word of prayer before we get started. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to get up here and to just share your word, share what you've laid on my heart this week. I'm grateful to you for that, Lord. And I just pray that you would bless this message, Lord. And I pray that you'd open hearts and minds to receive it. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be obedient to it so we can see the change in our life that you want to make in them. And Father, I just pray that everything that's said is coming straight from you, Lord. None of my opinions or anything like that. I just pray that you would speak to us personally. And it's in Jesus' holy name I do pray. Amen. All right. Those of you that were here last week, we talked about grief and the difference in grief and grieving and mourning and how living under the weight of grief can it can do a lot of damage in your life. It can destroy your life if you don't deal with it. You know, it can damage your relationships with God and the people in your life, and how it can drag you into depression and all sorts of other negative stuff. Bad health and anger, bitterness, loneliness, emptiness. You know, that list just goes on and on if we don't deal with it. And how grieving and mourning actually does just the opposite. It gets us out from under grief so that we can move on with our future, you know, whatever that looks like. And if we allow Jesus to help us move forward, those things can bring the healing and the restoration that we need in our lives. This week, I want to talk about what we do when we get to the point where we've been in grief so long, been under the weight of something so long, you know, no matter what, you know, caused the grief, but we haven't dealt with it, and we've been there so long that we get to the point we don't even want to do what is right anymore. We've just got used to being in that state, and we got to the point where we're just throwing the towel because we just think everything is useless. You know, we'll go to thinking things like, I've tried that before and it didn't work. You know, I tried that and it failed, or it's just too hard and I'm just tired of trying. You know, if you're feeling like that, the very first thing you have to do is realize that somehow, somewhere, you've drifted away from God. You know, we talked about last week, if you're just drifting, then you never drift towards God. You'll drift away from God. And it doesn't matter how or why you've drifted. The only thing important about it is that you realize that you have drifted. And just like the prodigal son, the Bible says he came to himself and he returned to his father. And when we realize that we've drifted, that's what we have to do, is return to our father. I like, there's a verse in Proverbs 15:4. I really like that verse. It says, we'll be able to tell by the way we talk if there's a breach in our spirit. And that's what happens when we drift away from God. You know, there is a breach in our spirit, and we only stay connected and have the Holy Spirit. You know, we did the sermon one time about Jesus is the vine and we're just the branches. When we come loose from the vine, then we'll be able to tell there's a breach in our spirit. We'll notice that we talk differently than we do when we're connected to God, or things that, you know, that used to didn't or would bother us, if we knew they were wrong, if they stopped bothering us, then we know something's wrong. And it's always a slow fade. You know, it don't happen overnight. But we can get that way by hanging out with the wrong people, or, you know, watching the wrong things on TV, or listening to the wrong things on the radio, you know, whatever it is. But if we get to the point where all the coarse language or the bad things on TV or all that stuff doesn't bother us anymore, it's because there is a breach in our spirit and we're becoming comfortable with those things in ourselves. And that's why they're not bothering us anymore. We're not in touch with the Spirit anymore. And when we start drifting from God, we start losing our joy again too, because that comes from the Holy Spirit. And this one's in Proverbs 15 also, in verse 13. It says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but the sorrow of the heart, the spirit, is broken. So the further away that we get away from the Holy Spirit, you know, the more miserable we're going to be, the less joy that we're going to have, because that's where it comes from. If you remember the sermon we did on having joy in our lives, or actually it turned into a whole little mini-series, but that's where our joy comes from. And when we drift away from that, we, you know, life starts getting to where we just don't enjoy it anymore. I want to start off with this verse. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 16, it says, to be holy, for I am holy. You know, that sounds really simple, but by the time we get to this point spiritually, you know, we have to fight against sin that's coming against us. And we have to fight against sin that sometimes is coming from inside of us too. You know, it really does sound simple, you know, be holy for I am holy. But that don't make it easy. It really is simple, but it's not easy. I know some of you probably remember those WWJD bracelets that everybody had. You know, they'd wear them around, what would Jesus do? And, you know, that is really simple, but if we'll take the time when we get in those situations and really ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? You know, that would change a lot of our decisions. We try to, instead of keeping Christ simple the way that we should, and actually ask ourselves that question, what would Jesus do? We make up our minds for ourselves, and we wind up doing things a lot of times that we shouldn't do. With that being said, with the what would Jesus do bracelets, you know, Jesus is our example for fighting against sin. And I like these verses in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, it says he's our example. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So we have to fight against sin. That's what it says Jesus did. If he's our example, we have to do things the way that he did them. And in verse 1 there, it says we have to lay aside our sins that easily beset us. And sometimes it's hard to be, you know, like it said, be holy for I am holy. Sometimes it's hard to be holy, because in order to do that, you know, there are times we have to admit our own faults. And we don't want to do that. Or we have to admit sin in our lives. And, you know, nobody likes to do that either. We have to face the truth. And sometimes facing the truth is, you know, it's painful. And because it's painful and it's uncomfortable, a lot of times we just avoid it. But we do have to lay aside the weight that holds us down. And that can be hard, because most of the time it's the things that we enjoy. Or, it's you know, we love the people that we're hanging out with, but they're just not interested in changing themselves or living for God. You know, it says in Hebrews 11:25, there is pleasure in sin for a season. So a lot of times the things that God is asking us to lay down, or to, you know, get that weight off of us, are things that we don't want to lay down. Or maybe he's telling us that we need to distance ourselves from somebody. You know, we love those people. We don't want to distance ourselves from them. So those things can be painful. They can be hard. And it is simple, but it's not easy. But there is pleasure in sin for a season. That's how we get in it to start with. But the end of sin is death. And it's a separation from God. And it does leave a trail of destruction behind you. Not just for you, but for everybody else in your life too, that is following you. In Romans 6, verse 23, it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So just, you know, like if somebody's following you and you're doing the wrong things, it could lead them to death too. If you're doing the right things, if you're seeking God and following God, they'll follow you in that direction. No matter which direction you go, somebody will be following you, especially, you know, if you have children. So they can either lead them to death, or we can let them follow us and into eternal life. Either way we go, though, there will be somebody following us. 1 Peter, keep going back to that. Be ye holy, for I am holy. We have to be willing, like it said back in verse 1 of Hebrews 12, to lay those things down, to face the truth, and set them aside when God brings them to our attention. And that being said, this is the way that God does bring them to our attention. This is in Hebrews 12, also in verses 5 through 11. It's talking about the chastening of the Lord. He says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? And they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. God chastens us because he loves us. You know, he doesn't do anything to harm us. He brings those things to our attention because we're hurting ourselves. You know, if any of us have kids and we see them doing something that's hurting them, we don't want to watch our children hurt themselves. And it's the same thing with God. When he sees things in our lives that are hurting us, he will bring them to our attention. And, you know, most of the time when we're hurting ourselves, like I said a minute ago, we're hurting other people around us too. We're not just hurting ourselves. And I believe that most of us don't want to change. Not because we don't want to be holy. I think we want to be holy. Or not because we don't want to follow God. I think, you know, we all want to follow God, or we wouldn't be here, or we wouldn't be tuning in to watch this online. We don't want to change simply because we don't want to be inconvenienced. You know, we get used to doing everything our way, and we want to continue to do things our way. We're not willing to compromise and you know, admit that God's way is better. And we're not willing to change the things in our lives in order to live the holy life that God wants for us. And I don't think it's a coincidence that Romans 12 and Hebrews 12 are talking about almost the same thing. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So Romans 12 says we need to renew our minds so that we can live for God and get rid of the customs of the world. Hebrews 12, verse 1, is saying the same thing. It's saying to get rid of our old mindsets and our worldly mindsets and get the the sin out of our lives so that we can live for God. You know, I said a minute ago that sometimes it is hard to be holy, to make the decisions we know we need to make, because our own desires don't want to do that. And sometimes it's painful to make those choices, to get rid of the things that deep down we really don't want to get rid of. So that's what I want to talk about tonight. When I was studying this, I was in Hebrews 12. I got down to verse 10, and I got stuck right there on that one verse, or on the end of that verse, where it says we are that we might be partakers of His holiness. You know, that really stood out to me. In verse 10, it says our earthly fathers chastened us for their own pleasure. Like I said a minute ago, everybody wants their kids to do good. They want them to mind. They want them to do what they're told. You know, they want them to clean their rooms, get good grades, and stuff like that. We chasten our kids so they can be what we think they ought to be. They'd be, you know, the most that they possibly can be. As parents, we want them to do what we say, so it's not hard on us as parents, too, when they don't do what we say or what we tell them to do. But the last part of that verse says that God chastens us for our profit, so that we might be partakers of His holiness. You know, we said a minute ago, sometimes it's hard for us to choose to do the right thing, even if we know it's right. It's hard because we can't give these things up in our lives and make the right decision based on our own righteousness. And like I said a minute ago, if we're to that point where we're drifted away from God and we're not being led by the Holy Spirit, that's what we're left to make our decisions with, is our own righteousness. And it says in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 that our righteousness is as filthy rags. You know, there is nothing good in us in our own righteousness. It's pretty much saying we don't have any righteousness. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't make the good choices that we should. So we can't do that on our own power. That's why it says we need to be partakers of His righteousness, back in verse 10. And that's what I want to focus on tonight, is how do we become partakers of His righteousness. So I looked up the definition of partakers. I wanted to see exactly what it meant, you know, as it's used right there in the Bible. And it was pretty neat. It turned out there was a whole bunch of different definitions of partakers. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't just a verb. It wasn't just a noun. It was used in a whole bunch of different forms. And it had a whole bunch of different meanings. I'm sure all of you are familiar with the verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, where it says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, because it is the gift of God. So when we surrender our lives to Christ, God gives us salvation through grace. It is a gift. And that goes along with the first definition that I looked up. The first definition is, to be a partaker means to have, to get a share of, or to participate. So that means to have what Jesus has, to get a share of what Jesus has, and to participate in the things that Jesus does. So when we accept Jesus as our Savior, God gives us the free gift of getting to have Jesus, to get a share of Jesus' holiness through the Holy Spirit. And a lot of us don't get to experience that power and the joy of God in our lives because of the things in our lives that we just won't give up. Or either that, or we make the decision to just not make the changes in ourselves that God is telling us to make. And another definition that I liked was this one. It means, partaker also means to totally surrender one thing for another. And I think a lot of Christians, you know, they want to look godly, but they don't want to give up complete control of how they live in private, not in public. You know, everybody wants to look good in public, but, you know, how are they living at home or when nobody else is around? You know, a lot of us have the mindset of what I do in my house is my business, or But, you know, no matter where we are, it's always God's business. And we have to live that way at home. We have to live, totally surrender one thing for another, our righteousness for His holiness. And we just read that our righteousness is as filthy rags. So we can surrender that to Him for His holiness. And if God has laid something on your heart that He wants you to deal with, and you just keep ignoring it and doing it your way anyhow, He's not going to let you be content right there. You know, he puts it on your heart for a reason. He wants us to actually do something about the things that He places on our heart. And sometimes that's not easy. I battled that for a long time before I actually really did surrender to Him, not only publicly, but in private. You know, and we have to obey Him even when nobody else is around. God, He's not going to honor us once He brings it to our attention, living in disobedience. And the only way we can be partakers of His holiness is to do what that definition just said, completely surrender one thing for another and surrender our will to His. And when we surrender our will to His will, that's when we are partakers. And that's when we do get a share of His Holy Spirit or His holiness. You know, it said to totally surrender one thing for another. Like I said a while ago, a lot of times when God reveals to us something or some relationship in our lives that we need to get rid of or to make things right, I know for me anyway, and I think a lot of us, we automatically think that God is trying to take something away from us or take somebody away from us, you know, things that we enjoy or somebody that we love. And, you know, I came to find out later on, the deeper I got in my relationship with God, that couldn't be further from the truth. God's just trying to show us the things in our lives that are hurting us. Because, you know, keep going back to the drifting away. Once we have drifted away, we can't see the things that are hurting us. You know, a friend of mine always says, you know when somebody's lying to you, but you never know when you're being deceived. And when we drift away like that, and we're deceived, we can't recognize the things in our life that are hurting us or, you know, that's causing a damage to us. Things that are leading us away from God. And that's why He brings them to our attention, because He knows we can't see them. And that's what His chastening does. It opens our eyes so that we can see the things that God says are putting distance between us. And I know whatever God removes from your life, He always replaces it with something way better than what He took out of it, way better than what we could ever imagine. We covered these verses last week too, or this verse. It says in Isaiah 61 in verse 3, it says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. You know, we covered that verse last week when we were talking about grief. God wants to remove that spirit of heaviness from us. And that's what we get when we drift away from Him. He wants to remove that from us by trading our righteousness for His holiness. That's what being a partaker means. When we swap those things, He removes that spirit of heaviness from us and gives us His spirit that, you know, gives us life. It lifts us up instead of weighing us down. It says He gives us beauty for ashes. You know, all the areas of our life that we've burned and destroyed, God will restore if we'll just listen to Him when He's chastening us and when we'll, you know, take a close look at what He's trying to show us. And we'll see those things. And God will help us restore them before we do any more damage. It's like a warning system, you know. When God is chastening us, He's not being mean to us. He's telling us this is not right. You know, it's not going to end up well if you keep going this way. So we have to listen to Him and do what He says when He's chastening us. Another definition of partaker, it means to be changed or to be transformed or to take on the likeness of. I really like that one. You know, it goes back to Romans 12:2, where it says to be transformed. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, that's what it's talking about. It says, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, it is your heart. The verse before that, in verse 15, is talking about your heart. So nevertheless, when your heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So when we surrender to Christ, we are partakers of His glory. We get His Spirit, like it said there in the NLT says there's freedom in His Spirit. So all that heaviness and all those things that we're carrying around, when we listen to God when He's chasing us and we surrender to Him, then we're changed to be more like Christ. You probably remember a couple of weeks ago, you know, we talked about the character of Jesus and how we should be trying to change our character to match His character. And that's what being a partaker of His holiness is all about. Like I said a minute ago, the chastening of the Lord is not to make you feel bad or to make you, you know, put any shame on you or guilt or any of that stuff or to be mean to you. It's simply God showing us areas in our lives that we need to change to become more like Jesus. One definition that I looked up too means to be a partner with. You know, be a partner with Jesus. It means to be a companion with Jesus. God wants us to share in His holiness. If we go back to Hebrews 12 and verse 11, which we've already read, He wants us to share in the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Or, you could say it another way, the Holy Spirit. That's where the fruit comes from. You know, I show you all the time in Galatians where it lists the fruit of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, and all that stuff. That comes from His righteousness through His Holy Spirit. His chastening, like we read back in verse 10, is for our benefit, for our profit. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, it says, whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives. That's why it says, you know, He loves us. That's why He chastens us, because He loves us. It's not punishment. You know, I know I hear people a lot of times, they'll be having a rough day or a rough week or something like that, and you're like, man, God's really putting it on me this week. And when you're having that kind of a day or you're having that kind of a week, you know, stop and pray about it and ask God, what are you trying to show me through this? You know, maybe there's an area of your life that He wants you to do something in. God don't do anything to you to punish you. You know, He put all His punishment on Jesus Christ, or all our punishment on Jesus Christ when He hung on the cross. So whatever God does to us, it's for our benefit. It's not for our punishment. It's just a nudge in the right direction. You know, we talked about our conscience before. You know, that's what your conscience does. When God lays something on your mind, you know, it's not to make you feel bad. It's to point you in the right direction. The last definition that I want to go over with tonight is this one. This one is really powerful. To be a partaker actually means to feed on what has been sacrificed. You know, back under the law, they used to sacrifice, you know, the bulls and the goats, and, you know, they'd sprinkle all that stuff on the altar to pay for our sins and stuff. But the definition actually says to feed on what has been sacrificed. And Jesus is our sacrifice. You know, not only did he make a sacrifice for us, he is our sacrifice. He himself was our sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 10, you know, you can see that. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 through 12. It says, by the which will, which is talking about the New Testament that Jesus Christ made through his sacrifice, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. So Jesus is our sacrifice. And we can either be partakers of the sacrifice Jesus made for us, didn't just make for us, but became for us and died for us, or we can be partakers of this world to fulfill our own desires, to fulfill our flesh. And, you know, that's really the only two choices we have. We can be partakers of Christ, or we can, in his holiness, like it said back in chapter 12, verse 10, or we can be partakers of our own desires, the things of this world. And we see that all the time. You know, the jails are full of people that are partakers of the things of their own desires, things of this world. You know, the rehabs are full because people would rather be partakers of the, you know, the simple pleasures of this world than they would the things of God. The divorce courts are full because people would rather be partakers of things that they know they shouldn't be doing. And all those things, you know, God, he chastens us. We know when we're doing those things that they're wrong, and God lets us know they're wrong. And we have to make a choice when we're in those situations. We can either be partakers of the grace of God through the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, or, you know, we can be partakers of the things of the world. And, you know, one leads to life and the other leads to destruction. In Proverbs 16, verse 18, in any time, you know, that God is chastening us and speaking to us through our conscience, telling us this area is not right, and we choose to disobey God, you know, that is pride. That was the original sin. That's what got Satan kicked out of heaven, was disobedience and thinking that he knew more than God did. And when God lays something on our heart and chastens us with it, and we choose not to obey it, then it says pride goes before destruction, and it always does. You know, there's never an alternate route. It leads straight for destruction, and that's why God chastens us. When he sees us going that direction, he brings it to our attention, and that's when we have to make that choice. Like the one definition said, we have to completely surrender one thing for another thing. So we have to surrender what we think is our righteousness to his righteousness and be a partaker of his sacrifice. And we have to be willing, when God chastens us, to choose the things of God over the things of the world. You know, we talked a while ago about, be ye holy, for I am holy. It's simple, but it's hard. Going back to the bracelet, you know, what would Jesus do? When we get those questions in our mind, it really is a simple thing. And we need to, when we get those questions, we have to stop and actually ask ourselves that question, what would Jesus do? You know, all over the world, people are choosing things that please their flesh over the things of the Spirit. And we can't get the fruit of the Holy Spirit through the things of the flesh. You can only get it through submission to God, through His Spirit. You've got to surrender that one thing for another. I want to share a story with you out of Numbers. I was telling Dennis one day last week when I was doing this study, it reminded me of when the children of Israel were in the wilderness before they got to go into the, well, they never got to go into the promised land before their children went into the promised land. You know, God gave them manna from heaven to feed them in the wilderness. You know, that was pictured as spiritual food. And they all started complaining. You know, we were better off in Egypt. There we had all this flesh to eat and, you know, all the garlic and all these things. So they started complaining that God's spiritual food wasn't good enough. And I think, you know, that's kind of a picture of the way things are today. We would rather live for the flesh and the things of the world than we would to live for the spiritual food that God gives us, the things that would, you know, make our lives better. But that's a preview to the story. But in Numbers 11, verse 13, it says, "When should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat." You know, God had already given them manna from heaven, but that didn't satisfy them. They wanted flesh to eat. And if we skip on down to verses 18 and 19, it goes into a little more detail. And it says, "And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves." This is God's answer to them when they're crying out, "We want flesh, we'd rather have flesh." He's telling them, "Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh, for you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and you shall eat. You shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days. Will you go on to the next verse? "But even a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils, and it'll be loathsome unto you, because that you have despised the Lord." And that's the same thing that happens to us. We complain and complain to God because we would rather do things our way. And God will give us, I mean, He won't stop us from doing what we want to do. But we do the same thing. And we go back to verse 19, Scott. But God will give us, or He'll allow us to do what we want. You know, he won't stop us. He said, "You'll not eat one day or 2 days or 5 days or 10 days or 20 days. He'll let you keep going on and on and on until the choices that we've made here are coming out of our nose and we don't enjoy them anymore. You know, we said there was pleasure in sin for a season a while ago, but after a while, that turns into a bondage that we don't enjoy anymore, and we wish we never got entangled in it, and we wish we were out from under it. So if we're listening to the chastening of the Lord while these things are small, we won't get to the point like they did where we're stuck in it and it's coming out of our nostrils. We went so deep in it. If we'll listen to God and do things His way, He'll keep us from getting to that point. But a lot of times we just would rather please our flesh than be led by the Spirit. And we see it all the time, you know, people's lives falling apart because they choose the things of the flesh over the things of the Spirit. But we also see all the time how people, you know, we read in 2 Corinthians a minute ago, when people turn to the Lord, when their hearts turn to the Lord, that there's freedom in that. No matter what kind of bondage you've got yourself into, God will help you get out of it if we turn to Him. Just as many as we see turning back to their old ways, we see getting restored if we turn to God. And, you know, if we're willing to partake or surrender our flesh and our will to the Holy Spirit, God will restore our lives. And He will give us the beauty for ashes we talked about a minute ago. You know, we started off with a Proverbs 15:4. You know, when we start noticing that we have a breach in our spirit, you know, that slow fade that you don't even notice right away. You know, it can just be little bitty things. But those little bitty things add up. You know, they're things, if we'll take our time, my challenge to you this week is to take a close look at yourself. You know, a close look at your life. You know, are there things in your life today that a year ago you would have found offensive, you know? Because I think sometimes during that slow fade, the things that used to a year ago, we're like, oh, that's wrong, I'm not doing that. If we allow ourselves to be around those things and exposed to those things over a period of time, then they won't bother us anymore. We'll slowly become like those things. So that's my challenge to you this week, is to take a look at yourself, the things that are in your life, the things that you are allowing in your life that maybe you wouldn't have allowed a year ago. Or maybe you'll, you know, look at your life and you're doing way better than you were a year ago. You know, that works both ways. Whatever we're planting today is what we'll be harvesting next year. So we need to take a good look in which direction we're going, and what are we planting today? What kind of seeds are we sowing today? Is it going to bring a good harvest next year? Or is it going to bring us a bad harvest next year? Like I said, it could be small things lead up to big things, you know, just the way we talk. You know, if we're hanging around people that use coarse language and stuff, are they coming around to us, or are we starting to talk like they do? Or are we watching something on TV that we wouldn't have watched a year ago? Or listening to something on the radio that we wouldn't have listened to a year ago? We've got to be careful about what we take in, because when we get used to it and we start allowing those things, that's what starts coming out of us. And not only us, but if you have children, that's what the things that will be coming out of them. And, you know, only you and God know the truth about those things. You're the only one that knows what you allow in and what you don't allow in. But God knows too, and that's why he chastens us. So if God is chastening you in an area or areas, if he's, you know, focusing on more than one thing, I pray that this week you will take it to him and ask him to help you with it. And he will. You know, he won't just bring something to your attention and leave it there. But sometimes we just have to stop and take a good look at ourselves and be honest about where we are and where we need to be and what we need to do from here, from that point. You know, whatever it is, God will help you do it. He wouldn't call it to your attention if he wasn't willing to help you with it. If you'll go back to Hebrews 12 and verse 10 again, you know, for a few days he chastens us after their own pleasure. But he chastens us for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So if you are struggling with something and God's bringing it to your attention, that's what we have to do. You know, we have to partner with Jesus, be a partaker of his holiness, because, you know, we don't have it on our own. And if we're drifted away from him, we have to be, like I said in the beginning, we have to be like the prodigal son and go back to our Father and be partakers of his holiness. And through his holiness and through the fruits of the Holy Spirit, we can get back to the place that we need to be with God. And, you know, if you have drifted, don't feel bad about yourself. That happens to everybody. Life gets tough sometimes. You know, things get hectic. There's things that we have to take care of. There's things we just get overwhelmed with sometimes. It don't mean you did anything wrong. It just means that life just got so overwhelming that we got our focus off of it. We got more focused on what we're trying to get done and accomplish and keep up with in life than we were on God. So that's pretty much all I've got this week. The best way to keep our focus on God is, like I tell you almost every week, is to make sure we start out our day with a daily devotion and in prayer. When we start our day with God, then most of the time our focus will be on God all day, and it helps us through the day. It really does. And like I say almost every week, if you are struggling with something, you know, be honest with God when you're praying and talk about it with somebody else. We can't handle all these things by ourselves. There's a lot of power in the body of Christ when we're when we're struggling with something. You know, sit down with somebody that you're comfortable with and talk to them about it. Just getting that stuff off your chest makes you feel a whole lot better. And a lot of times, while you're talking about it, you know, either some advice that they give you or just having that conversation, God will give you the answer to what you need to do right there in the middle of talking with them. I've got a few people in my life, you know, that every time if I'm struggling with something, I take it to them and try to get advice and just talk to them about it. You know, I talk to my mom all the time about the things going on in my life, and she talks to me about hers. And, you know, I've got different friends and stuff. We can't live a godly life all by ourselves. You know, He designed the church to be a body. He designed us to be a family, to help one another. So we have to use that body, and we have to be that family. Not only should we be there for other people, but we need to rely on other people to be there for us too. And not be so prideful that we think we can do everything by ourselves. But that's all I've got this week. If you are struggling in an area, take it to God and talk to someone else about it too, and be a partaker of His holiness, and God will help you through it. I thank you all again for coming out, and thank you for listening to me. I'll go ahead and pray for us, and we'll be dismissed. Father, I just thank you for this message that you put on my heart. I know you started showing it to me a couple of weeks ago, but it really came, it was a whole lot of use to me just this last couple of days, Lord. And I thank you for that. And I just pray that this message will help someone else, Lord. I pray that their hearts were open and their minds were open to receive it. And Father, I pray that they'll take these verses and these truths and apply them to their lives, Lord, so they can head in the right direction if they're going the wrong direction and get back in right standing with you. And I just pray that all this somehow brings glory to your name, Lord, and everybody that hears it. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.